10 through 22. If you're using the Church Bible, Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22 starts on page 25. We're still in our series in Genesis. We have a couple more messages to go in this round. Then we'll take a break for a little bit. But last week, we learned just how messed up Isaac's family was. We saw Isaac's disobedience. When he knew that God had promised Jacob the blessing, he still wanted to give the blessing to Esau anyway. And we also learned that Jacob, with the help of his mother, Rebekah, tricked Isaac into thinking that he was Esau. So Isaac gave Jacob the blessing after all. And then when Esau learned that his brother had stolen his blessing, he wasn't happy about that. He was planning on killing Jacob. And that's where our story picks up this morning. See, Isaac and Rebekah have sent Jacob to Haran to stay with Rebekah's brother, Laban. Jacob has left the promised land. He's left to escape Esau's wrath. And then in our passage, we're going to see that one night while Jacob was sleeping, God revealed himself to him in a dream. And this caused Jacob to dedicate his life to the Lord. This caused Jacob's conversion. So let's read through Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar. And poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously, the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you gave me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this message this morning. We thank you for this story of Jacob's dream. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to teach us this morning through this dream. How you encourage the Israelites and you encourage the church that you will be with us. Father, we pray that we have open hearts and open minds as we listen to this message this morning, that we learn what you're trying to teach each one of us individually. Father, we pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have you ever felt forsaken by God? Maybe you had a particular sin or some kind of trial, and you feel like God must have turned his back on you. Well, that's probably how Jacob felt when he thought about all the wrong that he had done. But he's about to learn that God does not turn his back on his people. And our first point is Jacob's escape. And I didn't mention, but we don't have the PowerPoint for this, so I'll try to make sure I point out the points. So number one, Jacob's escape. So remember last week when Rebekah learned that Esau wanted to kill his brother? And she told Jacob to leave. In Genesis chapter 27, verse 43, she said, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee to Haran, to my brother Laban." So all of Jacob's planning and scheming backfired. Now he's a fugitive. He's running for his life. He's running away from Esau. But he's also running away from the promised land. So let's read the first verse of our passage, verse 10. It says, "Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went towards Haran." So he's left Beersheba. He's traveling towards Haran, and it appears that he's traveling alone. Now, Jacob's family was extremely wealthy. But there's no indication here that he was traveling with an entourage of attendants. He was alone. And the trip to Haran was about 400 miles. And he was walking it on foot. So it would take him at least a month to get there. And verse 11 tells us that after a few days, Jacob came to a certain place. And that's where he would spend the night. Now when we read this verse, you can see that Moses underscores the significance of this place by using the word place three times. So let's read verse 11. "He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place." So there's something special about this place. See, without knowing it, Jacob has arrived at the place where his grandfather Abraham built an altar to the Lord when he first arrived in the promised land. Jacob just happens to arrive at this place. The sun is set, so the darkness makes traveling any further impossible. And then it says that Jacob used a stone for a pillow, and he fell asleep. That brings us to point number two, Jacob's dream. So while he was sleeping, Jacob had a dream. Verse 12 tells us, "He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." So in his dream, Jacob sees a ladder. It reaches from the earth into heaven, and angels are traveling up and down the ladder. So when we think of a ladder, we probably tend to think of something like a stepladder. But this is obviously much more than a stepladder, because it had angels going up and down it at the same time. The Hebrew word translated ladder, it could also be stairway. So this was probably a stairway like the ones we talked about earlier on the ancient ziggurats. It's kind of like a little pyramid with steps up it. So the ladder Jacob saw in his dream was really a very large stairway. And the purpose of this stairway is to provide a bridge between heaven and earth. And you know, in the New Testament, Jesus refers to this. He refers to Jacob's dream when he told Nathanael in John chapter 1, verse 51, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So Jesus is describing Jacob's dream, the dream of heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending, but notice what's missing, the ladder. The angels are ascending and descending on the Son of Man. They're ascending and descending on Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying that he is the ladder. He is the link between heaven and earth. Jesus connects heaven and earth. He is the mediator. Jesus is the way, the only way to God. And then in verse 13, Jacob sees the Lord in his dream. And this must have scared the daylights out of him. He's thinking back to what he just deceived his father and stolen blessing. And when he deceived his father, he actually used the Lord's name in vain to do that. So he must have been scared half to death. But then the Lord spoke to him. Verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. The Lord doesn't curse Jacob. Instead, he blesses them. The Lord promised to give the land Jacob was lying on to him and his descendants. And if you remember, this was the same promise that the Lord gave to Abraham back in chapter 12, verse 7, when he first arrived in this land. He said in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. So the Lord reaffirms the promise of the land to Jacob. And then the Lord continues in verse 14 by saying, your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now this promise was the same one the Lord gave to Isaac in chapter 26, verse 24, when he said, the Lord appeared to him, Isaac, the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. So God promised Jacob what he'd previously promised to Abraham and Isaac. Jacob was a deceiver. And at this point in his life, he didn't know God personally, even though he'd heard about him his whole life. Commentator Sidney Gradanus wrote about this. He said, this is astounding. Almighty God seeks out this fleeing scoundrel, Jacob, and tells him that all these rich promises given to Abraham and Isaac are now for him. He received the blessings God bestowed on the patriarchs, and it is completely God's initiative. Jacob has done absolutely nothing to deserve God's covenant promises. In fact, he had messed up badly. He tried so hard to grasp God's blessings with his own cunning, and look where it got him, a fugitive running away from the promised land. One cannot grasp and take God's blessings. One can only receive them gratefully. God is the giver. It is God's initiative. It is all God's grace. And God doesn't finish speaking here. He has a special promise for Jacob. A special promise as he sets off on a dangerous journey away from the promised land. So God says in verse 15, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So when we read through that, we can see that the Lord gives Jacob three specific promises. And the first one is, I am with you. So Jacob's not going to travel alone. God will be with him wherever he goes. And this would have been very comforting to Jacob, because in that time, the culture believed the gods were considered were local deities. They only gave protection in their own territories. They didn't cross borders. But the one true God that was with Jacob is going to cross all the borders with him. So that would have been a great comfort to him. And then to reinforce this promise, God says, secondly, I will keep you wherever you go. Now the word keep gives the image of a shepherd who will protect Jacob. So he promises to protect him. And then the third promise is, I will bring you back to this land. Now this means that Jacob won't be a fugitive for the rest of his life. The Lord is going to bring him back to the promised land at some point. And then the Lord sums up his promises by saying, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And then the third point this morning is Jacob's response. Verses 16 and 17. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So it's no surprise that Jacob was afraid. He had just seen a vision of the sovereign God, and that must have made him very much aware of the sins that he had committed. Then verses 18 and 19 tell us, so Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of the place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. See, Jacob performed an act of worship here. Pouring oil on that stone was consecrating that spot to God. And by calling that place Bethel, which means house of God, Jacob gave it a name that acknowledged God's presence. And then in verses 20 through 22, Jacob made a vow. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat, and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So some commentators believe this vow is Jacob trying to bargain with God. But we just saw that he was very much afraid of God, and it's highly unlikely that he'd already lost his fear of the Lord. The word that's translated here as if could and should be translated as since. So instead of Jacob bargaining with God by saying, if God will do this, then I'll do this, Jacob is making his vow in recognition of what God had promised by saying, since God will do this, then he will be my God. This is Jacob's conversion. This is the point in his life where his focus of worship changed from himself to God. That's what conversion is. And he said, then the Lord will be my God. Later on in Deuteronomy, Moses explained to the Israelites what this looks like in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 17. He said, you have today declared the Lord to be your God, and that you would walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments and his ordinances, and listen to his voice. So to declare the Lord to be your God means that you will be obedient to his will, to his commands. It means that you'll give him control over your life. And then Jacob ends this passage by saying that he would give God a tithe, that's 10%, of everything God gave him. Now, this wasn't commanded before this time, so he would have been following Abraham's example of tithing. I think the first time that we see tithing commanded is in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, when God said this to Moses, thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So Jacob was following his grandfather's example. Now, the central message in this passage for Israel and the central message for us is that God will be with them wherever they go. And God will be with us wherever we go. And this would have been a great comfort and encouragement to the Israelites through all that they would endure. Even when the Lord punishes Israel's sins with the Babylonian exile, he promises to be with them. And you know the promise of God being with his people? That comes to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. See, Matthew announces the birth of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, by quoting from Isaiah 7. He said, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Jesus' birth shows that God is with us. And before Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised his followers in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So just as God promised Israel that he would be with them wherever they go, Jesus promises his church that he will be with them, with us, wherever we go. And we can be confident in that. We can be confident in knowing that we're not alone in an evil world. Sometimes we may feel forsaken by God. Maybe some sin in our life or some trial has pulled us away from God, and we can't seem to find our way back to him. But we need to remember that he's with us. We're not alone. He's always with us. Remember Jesus' invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29? He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Let's pray. Father, once again, thank you so much for this reminder that you are with us no matter what we face, no matter what our past looks like. We just put our trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. We can leave our past behind and let go of it. It's so encouraging to know that no matter what we face in the future, that we're never alone. It's so encouraging to know that no matter what we've done, you're still with us. You're there to forgive us. Father, may we never forsake you. May we always look to you in every aspect of our lives. Thank you for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name, amen.